Integrity reveals whether or not we're all in. What does it mean to have integrity, and how important is integrity to God? I want you to notice a story found in Daniel chapter number 3, verse 14. The Bible says in verse number 14, Nebuchadnezzar was a proud, evil king of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?" These are three Hebrew children he's talking to that he stole from Jerusalem. He says, "Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up." By the way, his golden image, if you didn't know, was himself. Nothing says pride better than erecting a 90-foot golden statue of yourself and making people bow down to it. Verse 15 says, "Now if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music," he says this, "is you're going to fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king, whether on this side of heaven or on the other. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Lord, would you help us today to understand the importance of integrity, the power of integrity. Lord, how integrity releases the power of you in our lives and in the situations in our lives. Lord, you bless obedience, you bless integrity. Now help us this morning to understand why that's absolutely important and vital. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. An AP story was published just recently, and the story was absolutely thick with irony. Two community organizers with a local Stop the Violence group were arrested and jailed in Washington, Pennsylvania. Forget this. Severely beating a former roommate with whom they had a property dispute. They allegedly jumped the man as he was walking down the street on Tuesday, and the police report said that the defendants kicked the victim repeatedly while he was unconscious, causing serious injuries. The female defendant was still wearing the Stop the Violence t-shirt that she had on the night before when she led a march in the city protesting two recent shootings. The victim remains in critical condition. We have heard about the environmentalists driving the gas-guzzling SUVs. We've heard of the televangelists having adulterous affairs. But a peace protester beating somebody up? That's something new, is it not? Integrity in our country and in the Christian realm as well has been thrown out the window. The reason why people aren't turning to Christ by the masses is because God's people are not living lives of integrity. Integrity, again, reveals whether we're all in or we're all out. What is integrity? Well, I looked it up. It means the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. Now, according to the story that I just read from the Bible, how many would say, man, these three Hebrew men had some moral uprightness? They knew what they believed, and they stuck to their guns, and they didn't bow down to the false gods. They decided that they were going to serve the living God, their God of the Bible. Now, have you faced this situation in your life where integrity was at stake? Where you're faced with a moral dilemma? Well, if I do this, then the person that I'm serving is going to be mad. But at the same time, if I offend God's law, then I'm going to slap the hand of God. And if I don't do what he says, I'm going to slap the hand that feeds me. So what do I do? There's a dilemma here we find in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you read in chapter number 2, the king in verse 46 fell on his face and worshiped Daniel. And Daniel said, I want Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be higher up in the political realm and to hold positions of political power. And so Nebuchadnezzar did. And so Nebuchadnezzar was the source of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's food and clothing and house. But at the same time, Nebuchadnezzar set up a 90-foot statue and says, if you don't worship this, I'm taking it all away. So there's a moral dilemma that they're facing. What do I do about this? Do you know the Bible says it's better to obey God rather than man? And you have to step out by faith, trusting that God is going to take care of the situation you're in, and always lean toward and run to integrity. That is what unleashes the power of God in your life, is doing the right thing, even if it's slapping the hand that feeds you, even if it offends somebody else. This is the situation that Daniel finds himself in. In fact, these men were so, they lifted up integrity so much that they didn't want to defile themselves. In fact, if you go to chapter number 1, you find Daniel, says in verse number 8, it says, but Daniel, in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not, what's that next word? Defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not, what? Defile himself. I don't want to eat something and partake in things that are going to defile what I believe in. The word defile is the Hebrew word ga'el, which it's a verb. It means to pollute. It means to stain. Now, how many guys would say that this world would love to stain or pollute your Christian testimony? That there's people in your life that are always happy that you live the Christian life. They want to pollute it. See, these Hebrew children were raised a certain way in Jerusalem. They were brought to this evil, wicked place called Babylon, and they wanted to defile them, to have them eat and partake in things that they knew were wrong. And Daniel determined as a teenage boy to say, I'm not going to defile myself. I've determined in my heart, I will not partake in that. I will not eat of that. I will not participate in those activities. I'm not going to do those things. He wanted to live a life of integrity. And so did his three buddies. Now, their names aren't really Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Babylonian names. Their real names are actually Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So how important is it for us to live a life of integrity? Well, I have three questions for you to answer. Okay? I have three questions for you to answer. That is going to change your life. This is going to change your life. Are you guys ready? Number one, you have to ask yourself, what am I willing to lose? What am I willing to lose? You find out that Daniel, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, they were raised in Jerusalem. They were raised in the ways of the Bible, the Old Testament, to serve the only true and living God. And their parents gave them names. Daniel means God is my judge. I like when people say, man, God, only God could judge me. I like to say to them, that should scare you. Another man's name was Hananiah. His name means Jehovah is gracious. You just look at their names. You know these parents wanted their kids to live and serve God. Mishael means who is he that is God? And Azariah, this Hebrew name, means the Lord is help. But when they were captured during this time, Nebuchadnezzar, by the way, just a quick brief history of this, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon during this time, and they went down as an army down to Egypt to take over Egypt. They did, and on the way back from Egypt, because Jerusalem was just in the way, they overtook Jerusalem and tore down their walls. And the reason why God allowed that to happen is because for hundreds of years, God warned the southern tribe of Israel that, hey, if you don't turn to me, you're going to be overtaken by the locusts. And guess what happened? They got overtaken. And so all of Israel was destroyed. Their walls were destroyed. They were held captive. And so these are the men. These are the remnants of the men. And Nebuchadnezzar decided, hey, I'm going to take these choice men, these men who look like they have it all together, and I'm going to teach them the ways of the Babylonians so that they can go out into the world and represent us for political gain. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do to these men. He was going to train them the ways of the Babylonians and give them different names. And so he gave them different names too. Daniel, he named Belteshazzar. That name means Baal, protect my life. Now, if you know anything about Baal, Baal was a pagan god that the Babylonians served, and they would worship their children on that altar. Baal was a wicked, wicked god that they served that wasn't even real, but caused them to do wicked things. And he changed Daniel's name to Belteshazzar. He changed Hananiah's name to Shadrach, which means I am fearful of God. He changed Mishael's name to Meshach, which means I am despised before my God. That's not true. He's loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness has he drawn you. Azariah's name, which means the Lord is help, was changed to Abednego, which means servant of Nebo, another false god that they served. So he was trying to disrupt and change the very nature in which their parents had raised them in, and that was a godly nature. Trying to change their mind and their name and their appetites. And by the way, that is, nothing has changed in this world. The desire to change you. But God transforms us from the inside out to give us a new man. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we can become creatures or people of Jesus Christ. A peculiar people, set apart, accomplishing things for the kingdom of God. So what are you willing to lose? Is the question. The Bible says this. In Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. In other words, integrity, character, is so much more important than having a whole bunch of money. And that was the point of this passage. These three Hebrew children says, I don't really care about the gold, and I really don't care about the image. I care about my name. I care about my God. I care about my integrity. Even Forbes magazine came out this week and said, success may come and go, but integrity is forever. Even in the secular business world, they understand that integrity is more important than success. In fact, integrity is the definition of success, regardless of the results. So what are you willing to lose? Well, you know, these men, they're willing to lose their life. For the sake of integrity, would you be willing to lose your job? If your boss asks you to do something that is against what the Bible says, are you willing to stand up for integrity and say, I'm not going to do that? By the way, you know what you do when you do that, right? You step out by faith and you release the power of God in that situation. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, if you read the rest of the story, you see, if they bowed down to the idol, then Nebuchadnezzar would have delivered them from the fire. They would have been delivered from it. But because they were not willing to sacrifice their integrity, God delivered them through the fire, not from it. It was a miracle. And by the way, that's when everybody saw the true and living God. It's because these men decided, I'm not going to sacrifice my integrity, and therefore the power of God was released, and therefore the people saw God. They saw his power. You want people in your life to see the power of God, you have to live a life of integrity. That is so vital. That's how they're going to... People don't care how much you say, and people don't care how much you know until they actually see God in your life. Man, he's not willing to break his integrity, his character, his discipline. This man really loves God. He's not willing to sacrifice. I know men who work at businesses where the business, the owners ask them to go to some strip club, or they ask them to go to some place that they know they're not supposed to go because, well, you know why. And so I'm not going. And guess what happens to those men? They're ostracized at their business. They say, well, what kind of weirdo are you? We're all going there. Why aren't you going? We just have a few beers, man. Jesus turned water into wine, right? By the way, those are the only two verses that they know. Don't judge and Jesus turned water into wine. How convenient. And by the way, a lot of Christians embarrassingly don't know how to answer those questions. I guess he did turn water into wine. Okay, let's go get drunk. Yeah, because Jesus allowed everybody at the party to get drunk, right? All the kids that were there at the party too, they just got wasted. Bunch of fools. So what are you willing to lose? Are you willing to sacrifice your integrity for the sake of making other people happy? Are you willing to make other people mad at you for the sake of integrity? What are you going to choose? What are you going to decide? These men decided integrity was more important than pleasing Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore the power of God was released, and therefore people saw God. It was their integrity that triggered the miracle, and God showed off in this story. You guys know the story, right? Look at verse 19. I'll read it to you. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Man, he was ticked because they didn't care about what Nebuchadnezzar felt. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because he had favor towards them. Now he's mad at them. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. 7 times. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. God revealed himself because 3 men decided to have integrity. That's how God reveals himself. We live in a culture where being successful is more important than integrity. If you're a news team, it's about being first. It's not about being true or being right. That's why news organizations are lacking followers, because we don't trust them anymore. How many of you guys understand what I'm saying? How many times you watch sports? Tonight's the Super Bowl. Sometimes you kind of wonder, oh, who's doping? I mean, they're caught all the time. And success to them is more important than integrity. You see that with churches. A lot of pastors today are more concerned about how many people are filling up the pew than actually preaching the truth. Doing what's right. Playing the type of music that's right. That's godly. I understand everybody has different preferences about music, and I'm not going to get into that. But it's got to be pleasing to Jesus. Hello? How about preaching the Bible? I think that's kind of important. Not just throwing up a little pop psychology session, throwing a few verses in there, patting you on the head, and make you feel good about yourself. And people know more about themselves and they know more about Jesus Christ when they leave a church. I'm loved and I'm this and I'm that. That's great. That's wonderful. But what about God? What about Him? Do you know why teenagers leave the home and don't come back to the faith? It's not because of the Bible. It's because parents don't live lives of integrity. You say one thing over here, but you live a different way over here. They see the hypocrisy, but it must not be real to mom and dad. Therefore, I'm not going to make it real to me. And it's not because the youth pastor didn't preach messages, and it wasn't because the pastor, wasn't feeding the flock. Many times it was because the parents weren't living lives of integrity. Success is integrity. Leave the outcomes up to God. People today sacrifice integrity on the altar of success. So you have to ask yourself, what am I willing to lose? Are you willing to lose your job? Are you willing to lose a friendship? Are you willing to even lose a family member of some sort for the sake of godly integrity? Number two, the question you need to ask yourself is this. Who are you going to offend? Who are you going to offend? Now, I looked up the word offend. Now, it's not here in the passage, but we understand that what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or in other words, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah should use their real names. They were willing to offend Nebuchadnezzar. Now, how many would say from this passage, Nebuchadnezzar was offended? It says in verse 19, and Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against them. He was ticked, man. I mean, he was mad. He's like, you're not, everybody else is bowing down, but you guys are gonna, he was so mad. He said, turn up the heat of that furnace seven times. Man, it was so hot that the people that were putting him in the fire burned up before they got to the fire. That's how hot it was. That was a Michigan bonfire is what that was. I seen your guys' bonfires. Everyone drive by, whoa, big old inferno. You got to ask yourself, who are you going to offend? Now, I was reading commentaries on this, and a lot of people said, well, if they bow down to the idol, the image, then they're going to offend God. And if they don't bow down, they're going to offend Nebuchadnezzar. So they have to choose who to offend. Did you know God is never offended? And people don't even know what offense means. People today, you know, microaggressions, you know, if you say, God bless you, like, I'm offended at you because I don't believe in God. I just want to say to people, grow up. Oh my word. Because I'm offended by everything. I mean, don't go out of your house. Bunch of snowflakes. Everybody's offended. Do you know what being offended means? It's actually in the Bible, and I have the Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word for it is mikshal, and the Greek word is scandalizo, where we get the word scandalize. It literally means to stumble or to fall, to be a stumbling block or to fall. Now, if your actions cause somebody else to stumble, then you have a lot of control in their life. I found a very interesting verse found in Psalms 119, 165. It says this. I love this. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That means this, that if you are a child of God in love with God's word, nothing anybody does will make you stumble or fall. Therefore, nothing you do or this world does makes God stumble or fall. You can't offend God. So when I say, who are you willing to offend? I'm not asking you if you're going to offend God. I'm asking you if you're going to offend yourself. So here's Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. They have a decision to make. Do I choose integrity or do I choose ungodliness, disobedience? If I choose disobedience, then I'm going to make myself stumble and fall. And if I choose righteousness, I will cause King Nebuchadnezzar to stumble and to fall. But you have to ask yourself, which one am I willing to offend, me or them? Because when you choose integrity, you may offend other people and make them stumble, make them fall. But if you choose unrighteousness, it'll cause you to stumble and fall. You don't make God offend. You can make yourself offend yourself. And so when you, as a teenager, choose to disobey your parents, you're not causing your parents to stumble and fall. You're causing yourself to stumble and fall. You're offending yourself. You're hurting you. If Mishael, Azariah, Hananiah decided to bow down before the God, they were going to make their testimony fall and their effectiveness for God to stumble. They're going to offend themselves. So the question you have to ask yourself is, who am I willing to offend? Me or them? Because there's going to come a point in your life where you decide integrity and somebody's going to stumble. They're going to be offended. I have people who get offended at me all the time. All the time. I got a letter just this week of somebody who is upset, you know, at me. Can you believe that? Somebody is upset at Pastor. I just walk around and I'm just happy all the time. I'm like, how can you be mad at me? I didn't do anything. And I got a letter this week saying, you're this and you're that. And they're lies. You determine your own salary. That's what he said in there. I just can't go to this church because you determine your own salary. That's not true. There was about five families that left last year from our church. And not one of them ever came to me and said, hey, I have this problem. What do you, not one. They're just mad. They're just mad at me. And I found out why. And I said, that's not, if they would have came to me, I would have solved that real quick. It's almost like people want to be offended. So I want to teach you how, what do you do with when somebody's offended, they're mad at you. How do you handle that? What are we supposed to do biblically? I want to share with you what I do. First of all, here's what I do. I consider the source. Who said it? And does it line up with the Bible? And did I really do that? And if I did, I evaluate it and I change my ways and don't do it again. But you have to consider the source. For example, if my wife says something, I take that in high regard. Just so you know, the Holy Spirit and my wife are almost the same. They're like right there. Pretty much, I can't even discern the difference between the voices. I'm like, hey. It's like they agree in one. It's amazing. If my wife says it, man, I'm, really? If my staff, yeah, pastor, you know, they've expressed concerns. Like you weren't using as much scripture before in your verses, in your messages. Is it, really? I didn't know. Thanks for letting me know that. I'll change that up. So I got 500 more verses we're going to preach today. Show you. There's somebody, you know, there's a lot of people that they like to write me anonymously. If you're not going to put your name on it, I'm not even going to consider what you said. You got to consider the source. And by the way, if what they said, they put their name on, that what they said is biblical and what they said is true, then guess what? You humble yourself and you change. I've done that many, many times. That's so important. Consider the source. Number two, you have to consider the content. Consider the content. Now, at the same time I got a letter of criticism, I also got some letters of praise. It's like, I feel good about myself, you know? Listen, when people say, don't judge me, did you know that if I said, hey, you're a good-looking person or you're nice, you'd be like, well, thank you. Nobody cares if you judge them if you're nice about it, even if it's not true. Don't judge me. We only care about judgment as long, if it's bad. So you have to consider the content. So you're going to have praises in your life, and you're going to have criticisms in your life. And here's what you do: you deflect both of them to God. So I took the letter, and that was a lot of praise. I said, Lord, thank you so much for allowing me to be in this position to even have an influence in that person's life. Lord, you're the one who gave me the ability, the brains, the opportunity to be. Lord, I give you all the praise for that. And when the criticism comes, it says, Lord, is this true? Lord, do I need to evaluate this in my life? And I make sure I do that. And I also deflect that to God as well. God, would you change me? Would you help me with this? And Lord, would you help me to process this? Because what they say many times is not even true. And Lord, if I don't give this to you, I'm going to get bitter. So here's what happens if you do not deflect praise and criticism to God. What happens is criticism will make you a cynic. You'll be a cynic, and praise will make you proud. That is why it's so important for you to deflect both of them to Jesus Christ. Because you don't want to become a cynic. You don't want to become jaded, where you look at everybody as an enemy now. And you don't want to be so proud that you're like, oh, I'm the stuff, man. I don't want to brag and all, but... By the way, the epitome of pride was King Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to talk about that in just a second. So I find this interesting. In verse number 16, notice what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say in verse 16. They said, and answered the king, says, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Do you guys see that? He says, why aren't you going to bow down? He says, we're not careful to answer this matter. And so they're handling the offense in a biblical way. And I find this very interesting because the word careful in the Hebrew is the word kashak. It means to need or to have need. What, in other words, they were saying, we don't need to answer you. We don't have to answer you. We're not We're not bound by your opinion. We're not servants of you. We're servants of God is what they're saying. But they were careful about answering to God. Says, we're not careful to answer you, but one day, listen, King, we're going to have to answer to God. And the fact of the matter is, there's going to come a day where you have to answer to God for your actions. And I'm not careful to have to answer to every criticism out there. So don't play defense. Don't play defense. See, life is too short to spend all day defending myself. These three Hebrew children didn't spend the whole day, this is why, and let me pull out some verses to show you why we're not going to bow down. This is, we really don't care to answer you. We're going to answer to God one day. Don't spend your life on Facebook defending yourself. Don't spend your life defending why you believe what you believe unless they want to know why you believe what you believe. You guys with me? And if they don't want to know, you can't teach somebody who doesn't want to learn. So don't waste your breath. King Nebuchadnezzar didn't care about their reason. He wasn't. They said, we don't need to answer you. We're going to have to answer to God. And so we are careful about answering to God. So I know this, that if I get offended, I become defensive. And when I become defensive, I become neutralized. You guys with me? If I allow somebody to offend me, then I get defensive. And when I get defensive, I become neutralized. And now I'm useless to God because I'm walking around all defensive. I'm mad. This person hurt me. And you're placing yourself in a prison of bitterness where you're shackled to this emotion that everybody's now your enemy. And you're neutralized. You can't do anything for God. And so who say, well, what am I supposed to do about it? The Bible says vengeance is the Lord's. He'll take care of it. As a pastor, this is really hard for me. I'm going to be totally honest with you guys because I've been lying this whole time. I'm going to be honest. And when people say, I'm going to be honest with you, well, have you been lying this whole time? People write letters, you know, or they'll say something that's not true about me or my wife. The unfortunate part of being a pastor is that you're kind of expected to take the high road. You know, you can't like knock them down because you know everything about them, but you can't be like, let me tell you about so-and-so. You can't do that. While they're ripping your name and telling lies and everybody's like, really, is that true? I'm like, man, I'd like to tell you everything that he's done, but it's probably not the right thing to do. So God, would you take care of the situation? And it's so hard for me to do that. Because I really would like to rip them. I'm telling you. I'm just being honest with you. I would love to. But I know it's not the right thing to do because then I'm taking faith out of the aspect. Say, God, would you deal with this? You see that in David's writing in the Psalms. You see him, Lord, would you take care of my enemies? Would you do this? Would you do that? Lord, vengeance is yours, that sort of thing. Do not allow an enemy in your life, especially somebody who's offended about your life, to control your life. Just give it to God. Say, God, would you take care of them? I don't need to defend myself. I'm not careful to answer them. Lord, I'm careful to answer to you. So, Lord, would you take care of the situation? By the way, how many of you guys think God did a pretty good job taking care of the situation? And he'll do it for you as well. He'll do it for you, I promise. The truth will be revealed. And if you're gullible, and listen, I know this isn't politically correct, but if you're dumb enough to follow somebody and only believe one side of the story, you might as well go along with them as well. Do you know there's two sides to every story, right? And if you want to know the truth, then you go to both sides. But people don't always do that. And so we have to decide who we're going to offend. Are you going to offend the person who's going to be offended at your integrity? Or are you going to offend yourself, cause yourself to stumble by compromising your integrity? Okay? Who are you willing to lose? What are you willing to lose? Are you willing to lose a friendship? Are you willing to lose a job? Are you willing to lose some money for the sake of integrity? And number three, when will you lose your ego? When are you going to lose your ego? Nothing is a bigger enemy to your integrity than your ego. Than your pride. You will compromise your integrity faster if you have an ego. You're more concerned about what people think about you than what's right. That is the problem with a lot of people. They're more concerned about what everybody thinks about them than what's right. There's a lot of pastors who have compromised the integrity of the Word of God for the sake of being liked by everybody else. There's a lot of workers who work in the workplace who have sacrificed their integrity, have compromised their integrity for the sake of being liked by their coworkers. And if you were to, if they were to find out you're a Christian, they'd be shocked. Because you want to be liked by everybody else. King Nebuchadnezzar was obsessed with being liked. Wanted everybody to like him. In fact, so much so that he put a 90-foot golden statue of himself. And the reason why he did that is because he was a very insecure man. You do not erect 90-foot statues of yourself unless you're absolutely insecure with yourself. I'm not big enough. I'm not great enough. I gotta have more. I need to have more people like me. I gotta conquer nations and countries and force them to like me. That's the sign of an insecure narcissist. And that was this man named Nebuchadnezzar. But the Bible says in Matthew 23:12 about this pride thing. I want you to notice that when you humble yourself, you place yourself in a position of faith. And the Bible says in verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be what? You'll be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be what? Exalted. That's, you say, how do I get exalted? You humble yourself, and it's God's mighty hand that then lifts you up. You don't lift yourself up. That's a sign of insecurity and pride. You humble yourself and allow God in his timing and his way to lift you up in the sight of your kids and your spouse and your church and the people that matter. The only opinion in this world that matters is God's. Are you guys with me? I can't believe how many young ladies have sacrificed their purity and their integrity for the sake of some little boyfriend who they want to like them. I just want him to like me. He doesn't like you. He lusts you. That boy could care less about you. If he liked you, he'd actually care about your integrity. That's me getting excited. I like those thoughts. There's a lot of young men who have kind of sacrificed their integrity at the high school because they want to be popular at the high school. And they're like, for the sake of popularity, I'm going to sacrifice my integrity. And by the way, just so you guys know, you high school students know, in 10 years, you know how many of those people will be your friends? Zero. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying there was only 17 boys in my high school seniors, and I was homecoming king sophomore, junior, and senior year, three years in a row. Don't want to brag and all. Do you know how many of those friends I have now? Zero. None of them. And I look back at my high school and I think, how many times those kids have sacrificed their integrity for the sake of popularity, and they look back and they have none of those friends, but they still have God. Do you know who will always, always be with you for the rest of your life? Is God. The Bible says he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know who else is always going to be with you? Your spouse. And your kids. Oh my, listen, do not sacrifice integrity on the altar of popularity or what people think. All Nebuchadnezzar cared about was himself. Nothing says pride like wanting everyone to like you at the expense of God's will. So Nebuchadnezzar erected a statue and forced worship because of his insecurity. So in other words, you cannot begin to live until you're willing to die. You cannot live until you're willing to die. Now, I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about death to your self-righteousness or your self-will, I should say. It's death to your self-will. So when you nail your sinful nature and your selfish desires to the cross, then does your true personality, true potential, and true purpose come to life. God cannot resurrect what is not dead. So that's why many people are living half alive. They haven't died to self yet. And it's not until you die to self that God resurrects you and gives you purpose and gives you life, gives you your true personality. God doesn't want to change your personality. It's God made you who you are, but he wants to reveal your true personality, and that cannot be revealed until you die to self. You lay yourself on the altar and say, Lord, take my life and let it be. Let's say it this way. You have to get to a point where you're secure in Christ, and that's it. You don't care about what everybody else thinks. You don't care what the coworkers say or how they joke around because you're living your Christian life. None of those things matter. What matters is that Jesus loves you not for what you do, but for who you are, that you're complete in Him. You're not complete in Christ because you went to church, read your Bible, and prayed. You're complete in Christ because the precious blood of Christ covered your sin. You're complete. That you don't need everybody else's like. You don't need 100 likes on your Facebook to feel important. That Jesus likes you, and that's the biggest like you're ever going to get. In fact, He didn't hit like, He hit love. Big love. You don't need to constantly go on Instagram and Facebook to find your identity. Your identity is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. That's who it is. Man, once you get to that place, man, you are actually now free. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. That's why one of the Patriots' defensive backs, I think his last name is Starks. I can't remember his last name, but he got up and they interviewed him, and he just presented a clear presentation of the gospel. Could care less about what everybody else thought. He's like, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I said, go Patriots. I'm rooting for the Patriots tonight. I mean, it's going to be awesome. I'm rooting for that defensive back. It's awesome. He didn't care what everybody else thought. Who cares? I care what God thinks. A lot of kids are confused about themselves because they care so much about what everybody else thinks. There's a golfer. His name was Bobby Jones. And in fact, he played in the 1925 U.S. Open. One of the top golfers of the day. Bobby Jones was a man of integrity. At the U.S. Open, he addressed his ball, and in golf, there's rules, lots of rules. In fact, it's still known today as a sport of integrity. He addressed his ball. There's no cameras in that day. And his club accidentally hit the ball, moved the ball, which in golf, under the rules, is a one-stroke penalty. But nobody saw Bobby hit the ball. Nobody observed it. Nobody saw it. He could have went back to addressing the ball, hit the shot, and nobody would have known he touched the ball with the club. But Bobby, because he was a man of integrity, pulled out his scorecard and marked off a stroke for accidentally touching the ball. When the game was over, Bobby lost by one stroke. When they added up their scorecards to his, they realized, hey, you're one stroke above what you should be. He says, no, I accidentally hit the ball. And they began to praise Bobby for his honesty and his integrity. And he looked at them and he says, well, that's like praising me for not robbing the bank. One of the reporters said about Bobby, he said, Bobby Jones came closest to being what we called a great man. He's not really known for how well he golfed. He was well known for how much integrity this man had. What do you want to be known for? You have three decisions you can make tonight, this morning. Three of them. Number one, you can decide, you can choose. This is what you can do when you get home this week. You can choose integrity. Sorry, I'm getting choked up here. Man, I like Bobby. You can choose integrity. You can choose that. You may be faced with a situation this week at work, or at your home, where you have to choose unrighteousness or righteousness. And I want to encourage you, choose integrity and trust God for the results. Number two, choose Christ. Choose Christ. Now, this is twofold. Number one, you could choose Christ and offend others. So choose what God has said in His Word as opposed to what others say that is against His Word, and always go with the Bible. Always go with what God chooses and choose Christ. And secondly, you can choose Christ as your personal Savior today. If you were to die today, the question is, where would you go? And if the answer is, I'm not sure, the Bible says you can know for sure that heaven is your home. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. God wants you to know that you have eternal life. In fact, Paul said it this way. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He knew where he was going. God wants you to know where you're going when you die. And if you choose Jesus, the Bible says you have eternal life. It says it this way. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And you can choose Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. You can choose that. And number three, your last action step can be this. Choose humility. Choose humility. There is no greater enemy to integrity than lifting yourself up. Caring about what other people think about you. Choose humility and allow God to lift you up this week.